Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 34. You know, as a pastor, there's certain things we need to preach regularly. And sometimes as a pastor, you think, well, I don't want to preach the same way I preached it last time. I want to find a different scripture to preach the same topic, but from a different scripture. And so this is a different sort of scripture to preach a very well-known topic. And I'll introduce that to you in a moment. Let's read 2 Chronicles 6, verse 34. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that you shall send them, and they pray, everyone say, and they pray. So if they go to war, God, the way you tell them, and if they pray unto thee toward this city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear from the heavens their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. So God, if we go out to battle against our enemies and we do what you say, and if we pray, you know, you're going to hear us from heaven and you're going to help us. You're going to maintain our cause. Verse 36 says, though, this is like a but if, but what if? But if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off and or near, wherever it is, they get carried away. So the question is, but what if they sin? We know if they do the right thing, you're going to hear from heaven, God, and we know you're going to maintain their course. But what if they sin? Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and if they turn and pray unto you in the land of their captivity, even after they've sinned and they've been taken captive and reaping the consequences, what are you going to do, God? And they say, we have sinned and we have done amiss and have dealt wickedly. What if? What if we repent? What if we pray? And if they return unto thee with all thy heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives. And if they pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. So God, we know that when we do the right thing, when we pray and when we're in your will and we're doing what you told us to do, that you will hear from heaven. But God, will you hear from us when we make a mistake, when we even rebel against you, when we're taken captive in a faraway land? Will you hear us when we have sinned against you? Look at God's response. We go to the next chapter in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. This is God's response to that prayer. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. That's the power of God. The power of God fell right there. So Solomon is saying, God, we know that you hear us when we do the right thing. But what if we make a mistake? What if we make a mess? What if we turn our face back to you in repentance, in spite of what we've done, in spite of our struggles? God, how are you going to respond? Look at the way God responds. Something began to happen in the heavenlies. The fire came down and consumed the sacrifices. The power of God fell in that place. I want to speak today on this title, the place where imperfection and power collide. I want to speak about repentance today. Amen. The power of repentance. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that even as we've read this scripture, we've felt your power in this place today. That, Lord God, you are a gracious and you are a merciful God. Lord, you're going to speak to your people today. Help us, oh God, to be changed by the power of your word. Let your word go deep into our hearts. Lord God, let it go into our soft hearts today that are ready to receive your word. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. The place where imperfection and power collide. There is a place. You see, even the idea of having the word power and imperfection in the same phrase is foreign to us. It's like an oxymoron. You know, the place where imperfection and power collide. How could imperfection and power be in the same place? You see, when we think of the imperfect, we think of something that's undesirable, not wanted, not welcome, unwelcome, lacking value. In fact, imperfections are things that we throw out. Today, in our world, the perfect people seem to get pushed to the top. The good-looking people get pushed to the top. No matter what their personality is like, if they look perfect, they get pushed to the top. We live in a world that values the perfect. Everyone say the perfect. It's the nature of our society that we devalue whatever is imperfect. Now, I understand nobody wants to buy a house with leaks and cracks, and nobody wants to buy a car with a big dent or scratches, and nobody wants to eat rotten food. In the natural, we want the perfect. But we minimize the imperfect. We do that. But if we're not careful, we can bring that out of the natural world and we bring it into the spiritual world. And we start to have an attitude that says, I made a mistake. I'm worthless. I made a mistake. I'm of no value. I made a mistake. I may as well just be thrown out. And we begin to then through that filter begin to look at God and say, well, God's going to view me as, because I'm imperfect, God is just going to put me to the side. God doesn't want anything to do with me. That comes into our mind. And before you know it, the devil's going to come. The accuser of the brethren, and he's going to say, this week you made a mistake. Who do you think you are in church today? This week you did the wrong thing. You're here and you're worshiping God. You're imperfect. God's not interested in you. God is only interested in the perfect. And so we bring out of the natural world our desire for perfection. And we bring it into the spiritual world. And we come to God and we think, God doesn't want anything to do with me because I am not perfect. Isaiah 64 verse 6. It's true. We are not perfect. None of us are. But we all are as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Even if we do our best to be righteous, our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And so when we look at imperfection, when we look at ourselves and our mistakes, we can be very quick to write ourselves off. We're very quick to say, I'm too far gone. God's not interested in me. I've made one too many mistakes. I've done that. And the devil comes and he says, your problem is too big. Your addiction is too strong. You've gone too far. You've backslidden too many times. You've done it once too often. God will never forgive you. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands today, but I'm sure we've all heard the voice of the accuser of the brethren. But I've come to tell somebody today, your failure is not final. Write that down. Your failure is not final because we have a God who is full of grace and mercy. I know He'll call. I know He'll hear me when I pray and when I do the right thing. But I also know that if I repent of my sin and I turn back to Him, that He will hear me. I know that He'll hear my prayer. I know that He'll forgive my sin. And I know that the power of God will fall again in my life. You see, there is a place where imperfection and power collide, and that place is repentance. And some of you know what I'm talking about today because you came to church, you came to the Lord with your broken life, your messed up life, and you came to the Lord thinking, oh, I'm so unworthy. I'm not like anyone else around here. They all look perfect. Here I am. And you know what? As you began to repent of your sin, you felt the power of God touch your life. That's your story of salvation. But let's go a little bit further. There are people here today who have even backslidden, drifted away from God, and they came back to God and they said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, I have strayed. I have wandered. And as they repented of their sin, the power of God has come back, because there is a place where imperfection and power collide. It is a place called repentance. Oh, you don't hear repentance preached much in Christian circles these days. A lot of churches, they just want everyone to feel comfortable about the way they're living. Oh, we don't want anyone to leave church uncomfortable. But let me tell you, the only way that you can get to God is through repentance. You've got to find that place. And it doesn't matter where you are. If you turn to God in repentance, you will feel and you will know the power of God will fall in your life. Somebody say amen. And so there is a place where the imperfection and the power of God collide. You see, we often think, well, and I say this a lot, but a lot of people, they use this phrase. They say, Pastor, you know what? You know, I'm gonna come to church and I'm gonna start living for God when I can just sort my life out. You see, my life's in a mess right now, Pastor, and I know I gotta get back to church, or I know I gotta give my life to God, but first of all, I just gotta sort this mess out. I got some problems, I'm not where I need to be, and Pastor, just give me some time and I'll get good, and then I'll get God. That's their attitude. And I can understand where they're coming from, because they've taken this natural idea of perfection, and they've put that onto God as well, and saying, well, when I get perfect, I'll come to God. When I get good, I'll come to God. But you don't get good to get God, you get God to get good. And when you repent of your sin, it doesn't matter where you are, when you repent, the power of God will fall again in your life. There is a place where imperfection and power collide. It is the place called repentance. And that is a basic need of every human being. If you hear anybody tell you that you're saved and you haven't repented, walk away from there, because that's not even biblical. You can't be saved unless you've repented of your sin. It's a need of every human being. A U-turn. Everyone say a U-turn. A turning around. Repentance is that old. You remember Bishop Downs so many times. He talked about that old English word, repentance. They used to use it in the old army days. The army would be marching in one direction, and the commander would yell, repent. And they would turn and start marching in the other direction. And that's the same meaning that it is in the Bible. A U-turn, an inward change of attitude. Everyone say attitude. Repentance is something that starts on the inside. An inward change of attitude, but it doesn't stop on the inward. Because what happens on the inward begins to happen on the outward. An inward change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. And all of that change in our life begins at repentance. Repentance is a U-turn. Somebody say a U-turn. Someone say a change of attitude. Someone say a change of action. That's repentance. Now, repentance is not conviction. You can come to church and you can feel convicted. That's exactly the way they felt on the day of Pentecost. When Peter preached the first gospel message, they felt convicted in their heart. In fact, the Bible uses the words, and they were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted. But conviction isn't repentance. Just because you're in church and you feel convicted of your sin, and God is speaking to you about your sin, that doesn't mean you've repented. Because conviction is not repentance. Conviction is necessary, but conviction will lead you to repentance. When God speaks to your heart and pricks your heart, you'll ask the question, the same question they asked in Acts 2. I feel convicted. What shall I do? And what's the next word that comes out of Peter's mouth? Repent. You see, conviction is not repentance. Conviction will lead you to repentance. And so, even in a service, you can feel powerful conviction of God. And some people will just not do anything with it. They'll walk out the same way they came in. Sorrow is not repentance. I met a lot of people that are very sorry for what they did. When you help young guys that are in jail, Pastor, if you get me out of jail, I'll come to your church. Why? Why are they saying that? Because they feel sorry. Maybe not sorry for what they did. Maybe just sorry they got caught. And just feeling sorry is not repentance. You see, it ought to work repentance in our life. You see, godly sorrow should lead us to repentance. When we begin to feel that sorrow for our sin, then it should lead us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 to 10, it says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry." God doesn't rejoice and say, "Oh, wow, that's amazing. They're sorry for their sins." No. Paul says, "Now I'm not rejoicing because you're sorry, that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." So this godly sorrow in itself is not repentance. But godly sorrow ought to lead us to repentance. And Judas Iscariot is a classic example of that. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 to 5, Judas repented. Why? Because he got caught. If he allowed his godly sorrow to lead him to repentance, let me tell you, it would have been a completely different story for Judas. And if you're here today and you know that there's sin in your life, and maybe you're feeling conviction, maybe you're feeling that godly sorrow, like, you know what, I'm not in the right place with God. Here, I'm an old school preacher that's going to tell you that you got to find a place of repentance with God today. You can't walk out the same way that you came in. You got to find that place of repentance. And when you find that place of repentance, that is the place where imperfection and the power of God collide. You'll experience the power of God in your life. I believe in the power of repentance. Repentance is not religion. I'm just going to start coming to church every Sunday. I'm going to pray that little prayer every morning. I'm going to start praying for my meals. No, repentance is not religion. You can be a religious person and not be saved. Very religious. You could have all your ducks lined up. Look at this in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent.'" What was he preaching? "For the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We go down to verse 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them," here they are, all these religious people, "You generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance." You're religious, but there's no fruits of repentance in your life. There's no change. Nothing has happened. Here they are. They're all self-righteous Pharisees. He even said, "You are a generation of vipers." He called them, "You bunch of snakes." It wouldn't be too popular today. But he said, "Bring forth fruit of repentance." So repentance is not conviction. Repentance is not feeling sorry. Repentance is not being religious. And the last thing, repentance is not intellectual. Repentance is not something that just happens in your mind. It's not enough to just believe in Jesus. And let me go a little bit further and say, if there's somebody, they're going to tell you, lift your hand if you believe in Jesus, you're saved. No, repentance is more than just belief. More than just believing in Jesus. Repentance is more than just something intellectual that happens in our head. In fact, repentance is more than something that happens on the inside. It's an inward change of attitude. The scripture speaks of fruits unto repentance, an inward change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. Let me tell you, as soon as you're done with believing, that's important. Faith is the genesis of everything good that happens in our life. But as soon as you've done believing in God, then you come and you present yourself to God in repentance. Solomon obviously believed in God. The people obviously believed in God. Solomon said, "We know, God, that when we're doing the right thing, you'll hear us. But what if we do the wrong thing? What if we're captive? What if we're in a place where we know we shouldn't be? If we cry out to you, will you hear us?" And God says, "Not only will I hear you, but my fire and my power will fall at that place of repentance. There is a place where imperfection and the power of God collide, and that is the place called repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then Jesus said these words, and these are quite confronting. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So Jesus sums it all up. He says, you've got two options, repent or perish. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see, there is a place where imperfection, our imperfections, your imperfections, my imperfections, when we come to God with our sin and our mistakes and our mess, when we come to Him in repentance, you will find the power of God in your life. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just imagine if your sin separated you from God forever. Just imagine. It'd be a great tragedy if that thing that we did, that mistake that we made, separated us from God forever and we had no way to get back to God. But let me tell you what the good news is today. Let me tell you what the gospel is. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you've hurt, no matter what mistakes you've made, no matter what sin you have committed, there is a place where God can find you. There is a place where God will pour out His power in your life. There's a place where you can feel renewed and restored. And that place is the place called repentance. And it is a place, not that you'd come to the church and confess through some confession window. It is a place where we go to God and He says, if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let me tell you, repentance may not be fashionable these days, but it's biblical. It's the only way to God. Once you get done believing, bring yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I repent of my sin. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. I know, Lord, that I've broken your commandments. I know, Lord, that I have strayed from your word. I know, Lord, that the things that I have done are not pleasing to you. Forgive me of my sin. And you know what happens? Boom! You'll begin to feel the power of God. Hallelujah. You can experience the power of God in your life through repentance. When God created the heavens and the earth, I was thinking about that. Since then, you know, the stars have been shining in their orbits and the moon's been shining and the sun comes up every day and we can set our clocks by the faithfulness of God. The sun rises, the sun sets, the moon comes, the tides, they never fail. They go back and forth. The moon never fails. And as God created the heaven and the earth, He was done. And when He got done creating everything, He said, it is good. Nothing in creation that God created except us. Nothing, the only part of creation that brings disappointment to God was man. Have you ever thought about that? Everything that God created, it just works perfectly. Everything. The only thing that brings disappointment to the heart of God was man. The only part of His plan. God had a plan. And the only part that He went had to go to plan B was when the relationship between God and man broke down because of sin. But even then, God was prepared. The Bible says there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God had a plan to redeem man. God could have wiped the slate clean. I guess He could have started again and just destroyed all of the earth and said, you know what? I'm going to start again. He could have started again, obliterating the whole human race. But He didn't. He had a weakness. Everyone say a weakness. And that weakness was us. He had a love for us The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, his grace would not let him destroy us. His love would not let him forsake us. And even though we have failed God, he continues to love us. Even today, through the voice of this preacher, God is loving you as he's reaching out to you in your place. Maybe you're in sin today. Maybe you're far from God. God and his love is reaching out to you. His grace is reaching out. His mercy is reaching out. His love is a love that will not let go. And so as he died on the cross, the mockery of a trial, the scourging, the ultimate, you know, dragged down the streets of the city of Golgotha, they yelled at him, if you are God, and if you're who you say you are, then save yourself. But Jesus knew he couldn't save himself and save us at the same time. He chose me over himself as he died on the cross for our sins. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, there is a place where imperfection and the power of God will meet. God is attracted to repentance. As we read Hebrews 10, we read these words, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And yes, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God that you have rejected. But David said, let us fall into the hands of God, for his mercies are great. When you fall, it matters how you fall. If you fall into the hands of God that you have rejected out of rebellion, it's a fearful thing. But if you fall into the hands of God through repentance, it's a good thing. That's why David said in 2 Samuel 24, verse 14, let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And so is God speaking to you today, a simple message today about repentance. And it doesn't matter where you are in your life, it doesn't matter how long you've been living for God, repentance is for you today. And when you repent, you come to God in your imperfection, you come to God in your brokenness, you come to God even though you may have been rebelling, when you come to God, you will experience the power of God in your life. Solomon says, God, we know that if we do the right thing, we know if we pray, we know that if we're good, that you'll hear us. But what if we stray? What if we rebel? What if we're reaping the consequences of our actions? What if we're reaping the consequences of our sin and our mistakes? What if we're in captivity? Will you hear us? And the power of God falls. It consumes the sacrifice. The Bible says that the power of God, the glory of the Lord, filled the whole house where they were sitting. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus today. Let me tell you, the first place to start is to repent of your sin. It's a simple thing. You say, God, I'm sorry for the life that I've lived. God, I'm sorry for the sin that is in my life. Maybe you're here today and you've been a Christian for a long time, but you know there's sin in your life today. You can find a place of repentance today. Repentance is the place where imperfection and the power of God meet. And so something began to happen in the heavenlies. When they repented, something began to happen in the heavenlies. The fire came down and consumed the sacrifice. Even so powerful that the priests couldn't minister. And the glory of the Lord filled the whole place. Let me tell you, God loves worship. He inhabits the praises of his people. God loves praise. God loves service. God loves sacrifice. But there's nothing that gets God's attention more than a sinner that comes to repentance. Come on, somebody today, nothing gets God's attention like a sinner that comes to repentance. I know the Bible says, there's nothing that says there's a party in heaven when everybody worships. There's nothing that said there's a party in heaven when everybody's praising. But the Bible says in Luke 15, verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. More than the 99 just persons that have no need for repentance. It goes on in verse 10 of Luke 15. It says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. That's the power of repentance. It seems so simple, but let me tell you, it's so relevant for every single one of us today. Because the reality is, in our imperfections, we say, God, I'm not worthy. God, you're not interested in me. I gotta wait, I'll get good and then I can get God. But that's not the way it works. And the devil will come and he will come and say, yeah, you're right. You're not worthy. Yes, you made a mistake. He's the accuser of the brethren. But let me tell you, doesn't matter where you are, if you can find it in yourself to go to God in repentance, you will experience his power in your life. In Mark chapter 5, as I get ready to finish, the demoniac was in the tombs. He was crazy. He was out of his mind. He was running around cutting himself. All sorts of craziness. You know, everybody would have been afraid of that demoniac. He would have been known as the madman of the town, just hanging out in the tombs. The Bible says he was full of the devil. Now, I don't know about you. There's a cemetery down at Woden, and I wouldn't even like to go there anytime, really. But there's this guy in there. And he's full of the devil. He's got all sorts of problems. But Jesus came to the shore. Everyone say, Jesus came. Jesus went to where the man was, where nobody else, everybody else would tell their children, keep away. Nobody else would like to go there. But Jesus went to where the man was. He came to right where he was. He came to the shore. And the madman, let me tell you, no devils could stop him from worshiping God. Nothing. When he made up his mind he was going to worship God, nothing could stop him. And he was a man full of devils. Nothing could stop him getting to God. Let me tell you, nothing could stop you getting to God if you've got a heart that's set on repentance. And he came. He came and he threw himself down and he began to worship Jesus. You know, his life was out of control. Let me tell you, if your life's out of control, nothing can stop you from worshiping Jesus. Let me tell you, you're just one prayer away. One prayer away from getting it back together. That man in all of his mess was just one prayer away. One prayer away from being delivered as he fell before Jesus. And there is hope for every single one of us if we would find the place of repentance. The prodigal son is a classic story. The prodigal son was in the father's house. He knew the blessings of the father's house. He knew the provision of the father's house. And so the prodigal son was there and he went and he asked his dad. He said, Dad, give me my inheritance. I want out. Give me all my money now. I'm going to head. So the Jewish boy leaves his dad's home and he goes into the world, takes all that inheritance and he squanders it all. He finds himself at the lowest place. Let me tell you why I know it's a low place. Because he's a Jewish boy in a pig pen. The last place you'd find a Jew. He's so low. And the Bible says he would fain have eaten the husks that the pig did eat. But let me tell you what happened. He began to preach to himself. Everybody say, preach to himself. He began to preach. You know, the most powerful messages are not the messages that you hear preached over this pulpit. The most powerful messages are those messages that you preach to yourself. He said, self, it's time to get up. Self, it's time to go back to the Father's house. Self, it's time to repent. Self, it's time to do a U-turn. And when that prodigal son, he repented of his sin, the Bible says that he began to make his way down that road back to the Father's house. That's repentance. And what happened? The Father came running. He wrapped his arms around him. He kissed him. There was restoration. Why? Because of repentance. Let's all stand in this place today. He preached to himself. He said, I will arise. I will go to my father. I will tell my father I have sinned and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I tell you, he was restored to that place of being a son again because of the power of repentance. It's a topic we've heard a lot. We ought to hear a lot. We need to hear a lot. But there is power in repentance. And wherever you are today, as your pastor today, I can't be stronger with this. You've got to find that place of repentance. Don't wait another day. Don't wait till you got everything sorted out. That day will never come. But there is a place where imperfection and the power of God will collide. And that is when you find that place of repentance.